special thing on Thanksgiving. And this may not be exactly a Thanksgiving message, but Brother Dale mentioned a few weeks back a little tract we put out. And one time I went up to Brother Hansard's place when he was discouraged and preached his message, and then I noticed a couple weeks ago Brother Hansard published the tract again in his little paper. So I thought it might be appropriate to revisit that, and noticed as well that for some reason this may have been a while since it's ever been preached. I have preached it, but it's not on our website either as an audio message. So I thought it'd be appropriate today at this time of the year as well to address that question, you know, why continue on? Or the tract's title is, you know, why are we still here? And it's appropriate to stop from time to time and to affirm some things and to confirm some things. And I'm more convinced than ever in the day and age we live in, and as we look about us, that the necessity of us being here, of us continuing on. And it's particularly, you know, we may look around and in the eyes of the world, maybe even our own minds at times, there seems to be little or no progress, at least as men would quantify those things. And yet, as we stop and contemplate, we see just the abundance of God's mercy and provision. And this Thanksgiving service, again, was a reminder of that, you know, our families and those who look to us. And so forth. So why do we continue on? Why are we still here? Well, the first reason is that God's called us to this ministry. And, you know, we were talking, this kind of dovetails into where we've been talking here about Paul as he's been writing to the Romans. And, you know, he was just cognizant of that ministry, that God had called him as the apostle to the Gentiles. And he took that as a solemn obligation before the Lord. As we were back down, in verse 16, where he says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Paul had that sense of the call of God upon his life. And we see many parallels to that throughout the Scripture as well. I often feel a kinship to Ezekiel. And as we were studying Paul, I brought out again the ministry of Ezekiel in just a couple verses from Ezekiel's commission in Ezekiel 2. And it's essentially repeated again in that same book, next chapter and so forth. But in Ezekiel 2, Ezekiel says, and he said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I descend thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. You know, we're not always sent to see great results. And we minister on because the Lord's put us here. And to proclaim His truth and to proclaim His ministry, and whether folks hear or not. Again, those things aren't really our business. And continuing on in chapter 3 and verse 27, the Lord said, but when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear. He that forbeareth, let him forbear. For they are a rebellious house. You see, again, Those that hear are going to hear. Those that are forbear are going to forbear. We can't make them hear. But we have that commission from the Lord. Again, as the Lord said unto Ezekiel in chapter 2 and verse 4, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. The Lord told His church to go to the world and preach the gospel. Literally proclaim the gospel to every creature. Again, it's not an offer, it's not a deal, it's not a contract. You know, it's a completion, it's a proclamation, it's finished. But we have the obligation, we have the duty to proclaim that. Matthew 28, the Lord said in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This commission was given to the Lord's church, to the Lord's people. No other organization can properly carry that out. Not parachurch organizations, not conventions, not fellowships. It's our privilege, it's our obligation, and so we seek to proclaim God's truth, and we use the means He gives us, whether it be that the tract ministry, and we talk about how this little tract has kind of made its rounds, and our web ministry. And even this message will be posted online. we don't know, you know, how those things. And it's not our obligations to make them hear. Whether they if they hear, let them hear. If they forbear, let them forbear. We can't do anything about it anyway. God can. And God alone. So we still have that commission, and we're to carry it out until the Lord returns. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. And so we have a commission, and we need to seek to faithfully carry it out, regardless of the reception that it gets in the world about us. The duty is ours. Consequences of God, our God's, as Stonewall said. General Lee said, "I'm not concerned about results. my desire is to follow the will of God, and that His will be done, and not mine." As Brother Howell mentioned in his prayer. Sometimes we're sent, in Ezekiel and many of the Old Testament prophets, we're sent simply to testify against the wickedness that's around us. We're not promised that we're going to change it. We're not promised it's going to get better. We need to be careful to continue to testify and not to become a part of it. Not to be drawn into it. So many of God's preachers were sent simply to witness against that wickedness that was around them. And by the grace of God, may we not become weary in well-doing. Again, as we were looking at Paul's commission, I went back to that chapter I often go to in 2 Corinthians 2, where Paul says in verse 14, "Thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" It's a marvelous thing. It's an amazing thing in our eyes. Lack of results, as men would count them, is not an indication of a lack of God's blessings. Now, whether they hear or whether they forbear, whether it's a sweet savor or whether it's a savor of life unto life or a savor of death unto death, God's glorified in those things. That's not our business. God's glorified when men believe, and God's glorified when men reject, as we by His grace carry out His commission, because we're obedient. So God's put us here, and We just need to be obedient and continue on, regardless of what the outcomes may be. So number one, we continue on because we've been called, because we've been commissioned. Number two, we continue on because, as I look at the scriptures, I don't think we could quit even if we wanted to. And not that there aren't some times that I've wanted to. Hey, there's times we want to throw up our hands and say, oh, you know, we're done with this. And I feel a kinship with Jeremiah certainly in that, when we looked at this verse as well in relation to Paul's ministry, when Jeremiah thought he'd quit. Things weren't going the way he thought they should go. And he looked to God in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah said, you know, Lord, you didn't tell me it's going to be like this. The Lord did. But Jeremiah didn't hear. He said, I was expecting, you know, folks to claim me as some great preacher or something, a great prophet. They dug a hole and threw me in it. And he said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more of his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, I tried to quit, but I couldn't. He realized, you know, God's grace upon his life, and he couldn't quit. And I think we would all suffer the same consequences if we just say, oh, we quit. We'd find out, well, you know, you can't. Of course, the Apostle Peter had some of the same sort of thoughts at one time. You remember, Peter was disappointed, not with the Lord, disappointed with himself. Disappointed perhaps with how he had reacted to the Lord's betrayal and before the authorities and the fear and so forth and so on. You remember during the Lord's resurrection ministry, Peter said, you know what, I'm going to go back to fishing. I'm just going to go back fishing. John 21:3, Simon Peter saith unto him, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Peter was a leader even when it wasn't a good idea. But they said, we all go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. And, of course, the Lord brings the fish and so forth and so on. Later on, they sit and eat. John, down in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? And there's all various interpretations of exactly what the Lord meant there. Do you mean you love me more than the other disciples love me? Or do you love me more? Do you love me more than these fish, or than your secular work, than what you would normally do? But regardless, the Lord said, do you love me more than anything, really? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Do what I called you to do. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. You know, Peter, you were called to do something, then do it. You say you love the Lord, then do what he's called you to do. So we see Jeremiah tried to quit, and Peter tried to quit. Jonah tried to quit. You know, when I think about, and like I say, I don't care to become fish food, you know, even temporarily. And you know, Jonah said, I'm going to quit. I ain't going to go do that stuff. And pretty soon he was in the belly of a whale. And he found out he couldn't quit either. And if the Lord has a calling upon us, we couldn't quit if we wanted to. So we've had a calling. You know, we couldn't quit if we wanted to. Third thing to remember is we continue on because we have to provide for our own families. And again, Thanksgiving reminded me of that. And my family's not here under this roof anymore. But, you know, we all have children or grandchildren, wives. You know, if we weren't here, where in the world would we go to church? Where would I go to church? And, you know, there's times when that becomes almost, you know, my only motivation. I got to go on because I don't have no place else to go. Paul wrote to young Timothy when he was pastor of the church at Ephesus and said in 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Now, we often apply that to the material and physical realm, and it's true there as well, but how much more so the spiritual realm? If we don't provide for our own, especially those of our own household, and we've denied the faith. The Old Testament saint Joshua committed himself to those things. In Joshua 24:15, he said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We have to provide spiritually for our own, or at least provide a spiritual place for our own. I mean, you can imagine. You know, we want to see results. We want to see results. Scriptures tell us Noah preached for 120 years. And yet he only brought his family with him on the ark. But brethren, he did bring his family with him onto the ark. Hebrews 11:7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now Noah proclaimed the truth of God. You think there was a whole bunch of extra room in the ark? That they were they had all this extra room for these folks who decided not to believe? No. it was just the size that God determined it'd be. To make provision for those that God had determined would be on that ark. I don't know that Noah knew all those things, but God did. And God remained faithful even when Noah didn't. You know, Noah stumbled a few times himself. But God remained faithful. Now, we may not know how big the ark is or exactly how many will fit in the God does. Lord told Noah exactly how to build that ark. I don't know how the Arminians explain all that stuff. It's like, well, everybody could have believed that they wanted. Well, how big would the ark have to have been? Did the Lord know when he was telling Noah to build that? And he had already determined it? Well, that's a whole other message, I suppose. I see some negative examples too. You know, a whole lot. Quit. He ends up losing essentially his whole family to death and to disobedience and then to debauchery. Because he failed to continue on in those things that he ought to with the Lord. Satan will continue his attack on us and on our families. By God's grace, we seek to remain faithful. So if we close the doors, where will we go? Brethren, you know, I guess in a sense, you can say I've painted myself into a corner. And I think, perhaps, that God's painted me into that corner. I can't imagine if I were going to a church now where I had to sit through a Christmas or an Easter service. I can't imagine that. I don't. How could I do that? Or they open up some, you know, the new revised American Liberal Standard Version and start reading stuff out of that. Or they start singing some of these things that they sing in some of these churches anymore. You know, they made it up last week, so they got to put the words on a PowerPoint, and then you sing some ditty that sounds like it came out of the, you know, the Pop 20 or something. All the manipulation and easy believism. Brethren, I'm far from perfect, and this church could be served far better by better leadership, but that the Lord's put me here for now. But I can't imagine being any place. I just can't imagine. Where else? I don't know. I just don't know. So I got to continue on. So we continue on because we've been called. We couldn't quit if we wanted to. We have to provide for our own. Number four, we continue on because God's faithful. And God's been faithful in the past. And it would be a great sin to turn our back upon that faithfulness. 2 Kings 17:7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. Jehovah God takes them from the hand of Pharaoh, brings them across the Red Sea, and they go fashion calves out of gold. I mean, he's seen us through so much. We individually, we as families, we as our Baptist forebears. And after all he's done, and after what he's done to bring us to where we are today as individuals and as a church, how can we just deny those blessings and deny those provisions and just up and quit? He's promised that he'd meet our needs, and he always has in the past. Yeah. And to quit now would be to deny that we believe he's going to do those things. Philippians 4:9, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such as ye have, for I have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we say, well, I quit. We just said, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. After he says that, we're going to quit? And again, when he gave the commission in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the world. What a great wickedness it'd be to quit in the face of that. Things can get rough. Things can get bad. The Lord tells the church at Thyatira, you remember in Revelation, I often reflect upon that as well. You know, things may not get any better in our lifetime or any better in our experience. But the Lord had John write to the angel of the church at Thyatira in Revelation 2:25. He says, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. That which you have already, hold fast till I come. You know, so, well, we could use this, or maybe with this, maybe. But what you have right now, hold that till he comes. And if he comes to bless you with more, so much the better. And what you got, hold fast till I come. We have all these promises, and you know, to quit would be to deny them. So we continue on because we've been called, because we couldn't quit if we wanted to, and to provide for our own, because God's faithfulness in the past. And we continue on because God still has a faithful remnant. God still has a remnant. Sometimes big, sometimes small. Maybe big and we can't even see it or know it. Remember what the Lord said in 1 Kings 9:18. Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Or said, you know what? I've got a remnant. The prophet says, well, I'm here all by myself. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go out in the garden and eat worms. And oh, so wait a minute. I got 7,000 that haven't bent the knee to Baal. Paul writes in Romans 11:5, if you'll remember, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. There's still a few. There's still a remnant. We don't know who they are. Paul talks about over again, as he writes to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 10. Paul says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. Paul didn't know who all the elect were. But he says, it's my job to proclaim the truth and to do what God told me to, and it's ultimately for the elect's sake. He didn't know everyone. He couldn't look at anybody and say, well, that man's elect, that man's elect. Therefore I do all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, Paul had to bring the gospel that the elect would receive the blessings of that salvation, that their faith would have that object. That's what God sent him to do. Paul said, I'll do it. That's by the grace of God, I'll do it. And so by the grace of God, we remain here. You know, a place, hopefully, to grow, to learn, to be conformed to the image of the Lord. And as the Lord pleases from time to time, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord did it. And maybe a slow process, but over the years, the Lord's added, I believe, to His church. And again, I wouldn't want any of those I would add, because then we just have to deal with that later. And that's the hardest part. So we continue on because the Lord's called us. And we couldn't quit if we wanted to. We have to provide for our own and a place for our own. The Lord's been faithful in the past. There's still a faithful remnant. And we continue on, brethren, because we're all going to give an account. Now, God is sovereign. And God is faithful. And God works His perfect will. And all things in accordance with His plan. But, brethren, all of that, when we stand before the Lord and we have His revealed will, and He's going to say, here's what I said to do. Did you do it or not? We say, well, Lord, again, evidently because you didn't. And there won't be any of that. We'll all have to give an account. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The day is coming. You know, like I've said before, sometimes we can try all the manipulations of man and all the schemes, and boy, they may work real well, but you know what? You die. And then what? You know, you see those schemes and manipulations in the Lord's work, or even in the realm of man. You know, you look at the wicked. Man, they seem to prosper. But then you die. And then what? And for all the Lord's saints, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul's talking to the saints there. We're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to give an account of the deeds that were done in the body. And again, I can kind of relate, so I think back on my days in the Marine Corps. I remember, you know, having my heels locked in front of the colonel's desk. give an account of the deeds that were done. In fact, I remember one that threatened to have me in leg irons before the day was out. And there was a little misunderstanding. But and he didn't have all power. And he didn't have all knowledge. But our Lord will. Our Lord will. You know, with him, I had to think, well, he didn't really know what happened. But our Lord will know what happened. You know, you won't be able to pull his leg. You won't be able to, you know, to pull the curtain over his eyes. It was to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That should be a very sobering thought. Should be a very motivating thought. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." We say, well, you know, Christians believe that. We believe we're the sons of God. We believe the Lord's coming back. But John goes on and says this. He says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." He says, if you really believe it, then it's going to make a difference in the way you live. I mean, we can say, oh, we're all the sons of God, and we believe he's going to appear. We're all going to be like... God says, every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, if we truly look for his coming, if we truly anticipate that thing, it'll make a difference in the way we live. So we continue on, because we're going to give an account. If we quit, he's going to say, why'd you quit? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? And in particular, you know, as these troublous times abound and surround us, Paul writes in Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Brethren, I've never claimed to be, you know, a great expert on prophecy and whatever, but I see the day approaching. I think we all see the day approaching. It's coming. And we're going to stand before the Lord. So we continue on. Because the Lord called us here. He's called us to this ministry. As individuals, as parents, as husbands and wives. We continue on because we couldn't quit if we wanted to. Or we might try. But if the Lord's really appointed us to do this, it's going to be like old Paul, you know, Saul, kicking against the pricks. It's hard. It's hard to be in a whale's belly. Get thrown up on the shore. Can you imagine that? I mean, that kind of changed Jonah's mind. He said, well, I think I will go do that for now. You know, he said, I think that might be a good idea after all. You know, I just seem not right around in a whale's belly. We continue on because we have to provide for our own. Where would we go if we didn't have this place? We continue on because God has been so faithful in the past. We continue on because there is a faithful remnant. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. We don't know who they are. All are. Paul says, you know, I endure all things for the elect's sake. We continue on because, brother, the day's coming, we'll give an account. And it's fast approaching. And I would pray that, you know, we might be able, by the grace of God, you know, to say with Paul, 2 Timothy 4:7, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." And that we might hear from the Lord as he said to the faithful servant, Matthew 25:21, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." and by God's grace. You know, may we continue on. And I don't think we have any choice but to. And I don't want to find out what would happen if we tried to quit. But it's only by God's grace. It's all by God's grace. And we'll never do it in our own strength. So I pray He give us the grace to continue on as individuals, as families, as a church. Let's stand and sing together, closing hymn number 193. God will take care of you, number 193. Thank Thee for this day, or for the privilege to gather here as Your people. And Lord, we thank Thee for all Your faithfulnesses of the past. And Lord, it's only by Your grace that we are here as Your people. And Lord, that You've given us a place to meet, and that You've brought us together. And Father, by Your grace, and we know it can only be by Your grace, may we be faithful to continue on. Lord, you've set each of us in our own places of accountability and responsibility, and You've given to each of us a ministry and a mission. Lord, May we continue on in it. And Lord, though in our own eyes we can't see your remnant, we can't see your elect, but Father, we know that you're still gathering them. And Lord, if you'd be pleased to use us again, may we be faithful. And Lord, if it's just to be a testimony against the darkness, Lord, may we be faithful. Lord, may we finish our course. May we fight our fights. May we be faithful to the end. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Lord, be with our brother Prophet as he'll travel home today. Keep him safe. Lord, thank you for our brethren and our sister churches that some have met already and some will be meeting yet today. Put your hand upon them. Strengthen them. Keep them. Thank you, Lord, most for that love that spans eternity. Lord, that was set upon your people before they even were. And Lord, for the sure accomplishment of your will. And it's in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.